Right after Jesus' ascension, the disciples rightly expected glory. But problem is, they expected too early. The timing was wrong. Jesus never promised our glories now in here. No, 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 no. The disciples expect about that. But today, Jesus Christ promised us, don't worry, I'll send you the Holy Spirit. While what the disciples doing, you will hear that from the verse 14. They all joined together constantly in prayer. So today our main theme and the message connect with that. We expect the glory, not only expected, but in prayer together.
In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers.
And St. Peter wrote the letter to us. And at the time, the in Latin word, like religio illicita, which means like unpermitted religions. In this country, we don't have actual persecutions. If you confess Jesus, you're not going to go to jail. But 2,000 years ago, in the Peter's time, the government, Nero, and empire, they not permit to believe Jesus Christ. So Peter talking about it, look around of you. The world is not going to welcome you. They're like the roaring lion who's looking for the prey. And then Peter give you the tip. How could he waiting and endure this world, the persecution? Peter says, why don't you have eagerness of expectation of glory? We will be with Jesus Christ and all the saints in the heaven soon and very soon.
Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered for a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen.
Through the message, you may hear the standing firm in faith. How? From the Jesus, from the Peter, and from the Apostle Paul. Now we profess our faith with the I am a child of God. I am a child of God. In eternity, before creation, the Lord chose me to be his own. He did so not because of anything I would be or accomplish. This precious gift was based solely on his love, of which I am completely unworthy. I am a child of God. In time past, the Lord's Son became the God-man, seeking the salvation of all, living righteously and dying sacrificially. Christ set things right between me and the Lord. All I need to be at one with God, he provided at his expense. I am a child of God. In my lifetime, the Lord called me into his family. By the Spirit's creation of faith within, God now walks with me every day, watching over me. He guides me so I fulfill his purpose for my life. He protects and enlightens, helps and empowers me. In gratitude, I exalt him as the sovereign I serve. I am a child of God. In the future, God will deliver me from every evil, sorrow and suffering, pain and tears, sin and death will be banished forever. The Lord will fill me with joy in his presence, with eternal pleasures at his right hand. I am a child of God. Each day the world beckons me. With a tempting voice, it invites me to enthrone itself as my God. In the end, though, it delivers only a spent heart, a hollow spirit, and a damned soul. There is but one path to real life now and forever, the Lord living in, through, for, and with him. This I have because of his undeserved mercy and love. How blessed am I! To the Lord be my praise without ceasing. Amen. Now we invite the children aged 3 to the second grade for their children's church. May the Lord be with you and guide your steps. Jesus loves me, this I know, and I say yes. Jesus loves me, yes. Jesus loves me, yes. Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Now I invite you to sing together, He Reigns, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Awesome Lord.
Let us pray. Thanks, Lord, for giving us worshipers' heart. There are many options we could do, spend our time of this long weekend, but we are here in the guidance of your grace. Be with us and open our heart and ears so that we may hear your word, your promise, your prayer. The word will be mine, and then we may say, Amen. Lord, be with us. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word alone is the truth. Amen. Did you know that Jesus is a prayer warrior? I better be careful to say warrior. I still confuse the worry and warrior. But you know what I mean. There are several examples of Jesus praying in the Gospels. Nighttime, he prayed a lot in a solitary place. And prayer with the disciples. And he teaching the prayer to his people. We call it the Lord's Prayer. John 17, our sermon text, is where Jesus portrays praying in public, especially in front of the disciples. Jesus encouraged the disciples to expect the glory, but he never said the world will welcome us, like us, and love us. Jesus Christ never gave his people fake hope or encouragement. He promised his peace would be among us if we abide in him. In the previous chapter 16, the last verse says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus says to us, take heart. In other words, it means to be of good courage because Jesus' victory is ours. When was the last time you prayed boldly and seriously for yourself? It is my personal bias that I think Lutherans are generally good for intercessional prayers. Why? I think we are so gentle and we try to act maturely, not like a child. However, we are always children of God. So we cannot appear too selfish and too childish in God's eyes. You are so lovely in his eyes. Therefore, please do not hesitate to ask the Lord for his wisdom and guidance and help in any occasions. In John chapter 16, Jesus Christ encouraged the followers, especially disciples. And John 17, Jesus started to pray for himself. Look at this. Even Jesus himself prayed for himself. Jesus is true God and true man. And true man's side of Jesus need God the Father's guidance and encouragement. And Jesus did not use his divine power to conquer the temptation of Satan and to overcome the pains of the cross. Jesus faces all the temptations and endured the pains for us. Jesus is our perfect example for our lives. So simple human cannot say that. Only Jesus can suffer through all that just because he is God. Before we ask the Lord, sometimes we think too much and end up with what if questions. The saying, what if, is an enemy of prayer. What if God does not like it? What if God says no? However, remember what Jesus Christ says to us on the Luke chapter 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Recently, I heard this true story from my wife. It's not my story, I heard it, don't confuse. A husband, Korean husband, always asked his wife to go to Home Depot to buy something. One day, the wife asked the husband, Why he wants her to go when Home Depot is always full of men and the manly things. And the husband answered, "If I go, honey, I can't get help with what I need. Please do not get me wrong. It is not an ordinary genital way of a Korean man treat the wife. But can you make imagine English as a second language person's Home Depot experience? They do not know the correct part name in English, and they do not know and do not have confidence to explain correctly with soft tone of English. So don't get those people wrong. I mean, when they fail to communication clearly, their tone goes up. They're not mad at you. They're not mean for you. The good thing is that the husband who sent his wife to Home Depot knows the secret of, I made this word, asking with a big smile will get you helped with a bigger smile." Brothers and sisters in Christ, I've been asking the Lord for both small and big things. When I was a teenager, I asked him more often. When I was in trouble, I asked him boldly, just like Jacob's wrestling with God, even the whole night. Last year, I shared with you about my prayer tower at the high school building. 3 times a day for 3 straight years. However, when everything looks fine and is going well, we do not ask him as often. And I wonder, where is my prayer tower now? If you have a child, you may experience it. When your child is young, they like to talk to you about what happened in school. Sometimes a little annoying. When your child is a youth, they like to talk to you when they need something. When your child becomes an adult, they make their own decisions, so there is no chance to hear and put your opinions, but you just expect phone calls from them, and the phone calls make you smile. My 2 teens were in Southern California last couple days for a high school trip. The first night, my wife wondered what was going on. Especially my daughter's physical condition was not so good, struggled with allergy. So my wife sent a text message carefully, just saying, "Good night." But she did not get an answer. Next day morning, she asked them, "Are you okay? Please answer me." And then finally, my daughter answered, "Hi, yes, sorry, I miss you." Our good Lord always likes to listen to your prayer, and he will answer. Our good Lord always likes to have your text message. He will answer. Let us call him with his phone number. Do you know his phone number? When I was a little boy, my Sunday school teacher taught me the heaven's phone number as, listen carefully, 66-39-27. The 66 books in the Bible and 39 Old Testament and 27 New Testament. Our prayer is one way to talk to him. He will answer through the Bible to you. And let's see, what did Jesus pray for himself? John 17, verse 1. "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." Jesus Christ, "Father, glorify me to the finish line." The hour has come. Jesus clearly knew his time of crucifixion had come. Taking the cross is a shameful punishment from the world. But his taking the cross glorifies God, the Father, and the Son, Jesus Christ, by saving God's people, just like you and me, by death on the cross and shedding his precious blood for our eternal life. Only God's true Son, Jesus Christ, can do this. The Father gave this mission to his Son. Jesus, he wants to give the Father glory by finishing the work of salvation boldly. And Jesus also prayed, Father, glorify me to be united in ancient glory. When I teach that Jesus was with the Father in the beginning of creation, I get questions many times, and how can it be that Jesus was in the beginning if Jesus came to this world about 2,000 years ago? And I answered clearly with John 17, verse 5. Jesus says, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. And some of them nod their head up and down, and some of them nod their heads left and right. Even I answer through the scripture, the answer is not always the same. It depends on how much they trust the Bible as word of God. This is the final moment of Jesus' public ministry in this world. Jesus is looking forward to united with the Father as they were before the world began. And after that, Jesus Christ started to pray for his disciples. What did Jesus pray for the disciples? And verse 6 says, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the word you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed and destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. Jesus emphasizes that we are God's own. God the Father sent his only Son for us, and Jesus Christ became the true bridge in between the Father and us. Because of Jesus as the way, we can see the Father's glory. Because Jesus as the truth, we can feel Father's love. Because Jesus as the life, we can go to heaven. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. I love this verse when I was young. I kept saying to my mom, Mom, all you have is mine. God blesses me through you. And I spend my parents' money as my own. It was so biblical, right? Now, time's come. Now I'm living with my parents. They were the giver to me without calculations. And they are still giver to me, not financially, but spiritually. And I must remember what they did for me and give thanks to the Lord for giving me the resources to live together without big conflict in the Bay Area. As Jesus prayed for us, our peace and confidence came out from the Father. Jesus, help us to live in eager expectation for glory by his glorious resurrection and ascension. The promise of glory is not the get-out-of-jail card from the Monopoly game. That glory is not dimmed by earthly suffering. Rather, such suffering reminds us the glory that awaits us. Start from the cross and then to the crown. Our light and the momentary troubles in this world cannot mute and cannot reduce the joy of living in eager expectation of glory. This week, we are in between Ascension from last Thursday, and then next Sunday is Pentecost. It's one of waiting and expectations for the promised Spirit and the promised glory. Jesus' prayer for the disciples reminds me the St. Paul's song of Jesus' humiliations in the book of Philippians chapter 2, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus, he fully obeyed the Father's will and fulfilled the ancient promise and plan of salvation. Jesus Christ never took the glory out of the Father and acted like the Father. However, Jesus Christ makes our eyes open to see and to know and to believe the Father through him. Jesus kept praying. Verse 13, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world have hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Jesus prayed like this, Father, I am coming to you. The world will hate us because of the truth, what we have, what we believe, what we confess. Jesus and Paul and Peter give the same wisdom about the Christian's actual life in this world. Jesus prayed to the Father to help us to stand firm in the truth. What is the truth? Truth is the word of God. How can he stand firm? Jesus says, stay in the truth, the word of God. And Peter says, live and endure in the hope of glory. And then Paul says, wear the armor of God and pray. Peter alerts us about our enemy, the devil, who loiters like a roaring lion looking for prey. Peter reminds us that the God of all grace has called you to his eternal glory in Christ. While we suffered, God will restore us and make us strong, firm, and steadfast. God is the power above all powers. And Paul gives us detailed instruction with a picture of the full armor of God to stand firm. As you know, we wear the belt of truth, and we got the breastplate of righteousness, and then we have a shoe of gospel in peace, and then we have a shield of faith, and we have a helmet of salvation, we have a sword of the Spirit. And did you notice that? Right after that, we have a verse like this. After you equipped with armor, what are you going to do? And pray in spirit on all occasions with all kind of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And also pray for the pastors. With the full armor of God, we should pray in the spirit on all occasions, with all kind of prayers and requests. Do you have a certain expectation from your children? Do you know that God the Father The triune God has expectation on you as his dearly children. We're going to read all together. Jesus prays, Father, give them full measure of joy. We say, Amen. Jesus prays, Father, protect them by your holy name. We say, Amen. Jesus prays, Father, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. We say, Amen. Jesus prays, Father, send them into the world with true sanctified status. In other words, equip them with the full armor of God. We say, Amen. As Jesus is the prayer warrior, we pray, Father, let us be the prayer warriors. Amen. Please join of the prayer of confessions together. Lord God, I have not faithfully answered your call to come to you and follow you. I have chosen my ways over years. I have relied on myself rather than you. Forgive me through the perfect life and sin atoning death of Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.